You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Ooh, yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it all to you with our unique brand of humor and wackiness.
That's right. You never know what's coming up next on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and that's what makes it so unique. that's right.
No other way to put it.
That's right. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we've got a jam-packed show for you tonight. You know what? I'm going to tease it right off the bat. Why
not? Do it. Go for it.
We are going to have a transmission from the great state of Tennessee.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah, we're already kicking off the Gary Busey quotes. This is going to be a crazy episode.
It is a wonderful, noble state down there.
Yes. For those that didn't catch last week's show, we had the amazing tale of the Raccoon Man.
Yeah, Mark Coonrippy Brown, correct?
That's right. Who decided to run for the governorship of Tennessee.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? Because the state took away his beloved pet raccoon, Rebecca.
And it was a story that we immediately got behind. I think I claimed at one point that he was the perfect candidate, and I pledged my support and all that jazz.
Yep. And, for the hell of it, I sent an email to his official YouTube channel, and lo and behold, I actually got a response.
What?
Yeah. And they gave me the phone number to Mark Coonrippy Brown, otherwise known as the Raccoon Man.
Yeah, he called me. Rich called me over the weekend. He said, you have to sit down, you have to grab a drink, because I have some news for you. And then he proceeds to tell me that we're going to be talking to Mark Coonrippy Brown, the Raccoon Man, from our odd news feature from the last episode. I said, you're kidding me.
All hail Tennessee!
Yo, we're from Tennessee!
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
So, yes, coming up on this episode, we are going to talk to Mark Coonrippy Brown, the man, the Raccoon Man, who
the
could
legend,
be
the man, the legend himself,
the man who could be the next governor of Tennessee. Unbelievable.
We've avoided politics for so long, Rich.
Yeah,
but we just had to.
With that raccoon story, we have to get into it now. So that will be coming up in our side dish segment. But let's get some introductions out of the way. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm excellent. As you know, Rich, this past weekend was Super Sata and Sausage Making Day.
Ah, sausages!
Sausages!
Sausages! Oh my god, sausages! We got all kinds of sausages. Big sausages, little sausages, brown sausages, slightly less brown sausages. All kinds of goddamn sausages! Son of a bitch!
Son of a bitch, we got sausages!
Yeah. 200 pounds of meat and 6-7 hours later, we had several tables filled with Super Sata. It was
sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
It's a Hot Pocket sausage.
It's a Hot Pocket sausage.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
So there
all right then.
So is this what you said to Mr. Costanzo when you were making the sausages?
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages, sausages.
Woo, sausage!
Yeah, I was playing the organ and singing that the entire time. No, it was great fun. It was great fun. I'm just looking forward to eating the delicious, delicious Super Sata that we made.
Sausages! Your dad danced around the room and said that?
Yeah.
Oh, we also sang his famous song.
Sausages!
I would like to eat my
sausages!
beware roar.
Sausages!
Please keep your distance from the
sausages! Sausages!
We'll show you the door.
Sausages!
Actually, there's a lot more yelling and alcohol involved, but yeah, it was basically that.
You know, you shouldn't have even told me you were making Sopressata, because I had like all the sausages clips ready that I had on my soundboard.
What am I gonna do? Not mention it?
Yeah, of course you have to.
You know what happens every single year?
Yeah.
Sausages,
folks. It's like you might as well be electing the next pope. You throw the wax on the door. Mike's family actually like locks themselves up to make the sausage.
We don't lock ourselves up, but we're just like in the, you know, we're busy for like 8-9 hours at a time.
Yeah. You cannot receive any phone calls, texts. I am nothing. We're making the sausage.
We're making the sausage, yeah. It is. It's a huge event. We always have a ton of people. It's like a huge process. It's such a messy, complicated setup, but it's a lot of fun.
So, Mike will have the sausage and the Sopressata for the rest of the year now.
That's right. Well, not until April. But
it's still, you guys make enough sausage for an army for a year, so.
Yeah, we do.
But, anyway, so there you go. That's what Mike was up to.
What were you up to though?
Nothing much. Went to the movies, saw a couple of, movies, got caught up on, you know, the movies just in time for the Golden Globes, which we will get to for the entertainment entree.
I hope you saw some of the nominees.
Yes, I did.
All right, then.
We will definitely, have some, news to talk about there. But one thing I'm going to mention is, I'd like your opinion on this.
Okay.
If the trailers are running, should that be the time to stop talking?
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Because I don't know about other people, but seeing trailers, I always enjoy seeing what new movies are coming out. And sometimes that's your first glimpse at some of these movies.
Radical.
That's right. I'm so pumped for them. I'm just sitting in my seat. I'm going, radical.
Radical.
Dickle. But... as soon as the trailers come on, I stop shouting radical and dickle, and I pay attention to what's happening on screen, and I think the other moviegoers should do their part, and they should shut the hell up as well.
Yeah, I mean, I went to go see American Hustle, and they were showing the trailers, and these two girls behind me, they were just chatting like it was no big whoop.
In normal volume voices?
Yeah, normal voice, yeah.
Just like us right now, just chatting.
Yeah, like, no...
Did you do the turnaround stare, evil glare thing?
Oh yeah, we did the Seinfeld. Yeah, you know, the one eyebrow and the...
Nice. Yeah. You gotta get the one eyebrow in there.
You know, it's like, the trailers are on. I wanna see what's coming up. Yeah, you know, what the hell?
Exactly, I know. And when the lights go down and there's actual...
The thing that pisses me off. Yes, see, that's right. Pisses me off!
The thing that pisses me off.
It pisses me off too, because when the lights go down and there's stuff on the screen that matters, not the stupid trivia beforehand. But at that moment, that's when you need to gear up and get in the movie watching mode.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think.
So, I don't know, I just thought, I wanted to bring that up. I was just, oh, really? Like, it's the trailers. Like, we're just a breath away from the movies, from the movie actually starting, and, you know, they wouldn't shut up. Like, come on.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Thank you. I am vindicated. Thank you.
The thing that pisses me off.
I was right to be pissed off.
And all those people out there that don't quiet down during the trailers of movies, for shame. For shame.
Just do us a favor and the moment the trailers start, please be quiet.
Yes. That's a public service announcement from the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Right before that plays the concession ad, all right?
Visit our concession where you'll find something to please you. Our foods are fresh and tasty. Our drinks, satisfying and refreshing. They're so good.
We haven't played that in a while.
They're so good. I love that.
They're so good. I'm going to go hang myself.
I peddle popcorn to teenage moviegoers. And here's the noose.
I'm 50 years old.
Wait. That's why he's depressed. He's 50 years old.
And I'm serving popcorn to teenagers. Okay.
I thought you were insinuating that you just kill yourself when you reach 50. I'm 50. Yep. Goodbye, folks.
Yep. See you later.
that was dark, Rich.
Whoops.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Yep. Well, see you later.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, you know what? Before we get too old, let's... let's move right into our first segment of the show. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Yes. Yes.
Woo, sports. With Sean Connery.
Yes.
Why not?
Why not? Sean Connery is, he's good for everything.
You're the man now, dog.
Well, you know what? You know who is not the man right now? It's poor old Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. Pretty big setback that just happened to him.
Yeah, and sort of a news update for us here, because I think we've talked about this at least once or twice before.
Yes.
But recently it was announced that A-Rod will miss the entire 2014 season. He was suspended for the entire year, 162 games. Wow.
Yeah, he just lost his appeal in the Biogenesis scandal.
That's right, of course. Everyone knows that he was embroiled in this investigation about performance-enhancing drugs, and he originally had a 211-game suspension, which that is absurdly huge. They, fortunately for him, I guess you could say fortunately, they lowered it to 162.
Which exactly. Is still a full season.
It's just still a full season, right. But A-Rod, of course, had something to say about this. He released a statement which reads, in part, "The number of games sadly comes as no surprise, as the deck has been stacked against me from day one. This is one man's decision that was not put before a fair and impartial jury, does not involve me having failed a single drug test, is at odds with the facts, and is inconsistent with the terms of the joint drug agreement and the basic agreement, and relies on testimony and documents that would never have been allowed in any court in the United States because they are false and wholly unreliable. This injustice is MLB's first step toward abolishing guaranteed contracts in the 2016 bargaining round, instituting lifetime bans for single violations of drug policy, and further insulating its corrupt investigative program from any variety defense by accused players or any variety of objective review."
Woo! That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, and that's only a third of it. It's much longer than that, but I figured we would just read the interesting part. Those are some harsh words of criticism from A-Rod.
Yeah. And this pretty much, I think, severs ties between Major League Baseball and A-Rod.
Do you think this could be the end? I mean, A-Rod's going to be, I believe, 40.
No. He's right now 38.
38. Okay.
So by the time his suspension is done, he'll be 39.
39.
Yeah, well, you're up there.
That's still pushing it.
And, you know, with the way that this scandal is probably going to tarnish him, I don't know. I think that's going to be the end for A-Rod.
Yeah. I don't know why he's bothering to fight this. I'm reading along here in this article that 13 other pro baseball players linked to the Biogenesis scandal have accepted their bans, and their bans range from 50 games to 65 games. Yeah. A-Rod, of course, they went above and beyond for A-Rod, I guess because of his stature in the league.
Before all these steroid allegations, he was going to be viewed as the best player to play this game of our era, you know?
Oh, easily. Yeah. Everybody knows A-Rod.
Now with the Biogenesis scandal, the fact that he had the interview where he admitted that he did steroids as a part of the Texas Rangers. It's his legacy is crumbling around him now. I don't think any team's going to want to be involved with him, especially after the suspension.
Right, especially after fighting it in this way as well. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He is not, a poster child now for Major League Baseball.
No. And like I said, the other players accepted their bans. So what does that say about the evidence at hand here? It must mean that it's substantial.
Yeah.
At least for the most part.
Yeah, that it's not worth fighting or anybody else feels unjustly convicted.
So let's say he fights this tooth and nail and he, you know, gets it reduced. Do you think he's going to end up playing anyway? If you miss that many months, you know, he probably won't be in baseball shape.
Yeah. I don't see how he'll stay at least at the top of his game. Maybe he'll try to come back when he's 40, but
I think it's a stretch.
You really think he's going to be able to put in a full star-like season when he's 40? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
So, I mean, I think realistically, we could be seeing the end of A-Rod.
Well, he is still technically allowed to participate in spring training, I'm reading here. However, the Yankees might relegate him to minor league camp. That's a big blow.
Yes, and is A-Rod really going to do that?
I don't think so. This is just not looking good for him all around.
Yeah. At this point, he'll be pushing 40. Why don't you just retire?
You have a great – well, you had a great legacy. If you had gotten out before all this broke, you might have been safe. But now it's sort of tarnished.
Oh, yeah, of course. But you know, whether or not this happened during his career or after his career, the fact that he's even involved with Biogenesis and
– and fighting it so voraciously.
His legacy was going to be tarnished no matter what.
Right. As everybody from that era, from that 90s era, even though he really didn't fall in – I think he's at the tail end.
Yeah.
Like he's like the last vestige of that quote-unquote steroid era.
Right. It's a shame. You know,
it is.
He could have went down in history as the best player of this era, but I think this is going to hurt him. And you know what? With the track record of the Hall of Fame, you could say he might not be a Hall of Famer,
or he would get the dreaded asterisk.
Well, I think
is worse.
We'll see if that ever happens.
Well, I think we talked about this last time. I think eventually they're going to get to a point where they're going to have to put somebody in that was part of that era. How can you avoid it for this, you know? Eventually, you're going to be left without a choice.
Don't mix it up either, because there were players that played during the 90s that did not do steroids and avoided the cloud of steroids.
But Hall of Fame caliber, do you think?
Ken Griffey Jr. comes to mind.
Okay.
You know? There are players that so far have been able to dodge that cloud of any sort of mysterious steroid usage.
But do you think they'll be able to avoid it long enough to get past that era without inducting anybody from that era into the Hall of Fame?
I would say that if there is a league that can do it, it would be Major League Baseball. They are so stubborn.
Really?
Really. I mean, you know.
Did you mention to me once that they don't have to induct anybody?
Yes. There's a rule that they don't have.
So there's no minimum requirement.
Right. They could be a year where they don't induct anybody.
Do you think that's a possibility?
Yes. They're that stubborn. They can do it.
I think that would be interesting. This year, we're inducting no one.
Yeah, it's happened before.
Has it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It can. Chances are they will probably put in one steroid player at some point just by numbers and just by the...
Well, yeah, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire. Yeah. How do you just ignore these guys?
But you know what? If there is a league that could get away with turning a whole group of superstars away because they did something that was frowned upon, it's baseball.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me if none of these guys don't get into the Hall of Fame ever in their lifetimes.
No, I agree. It is a very stubborn league. You know, like you said, if there is one league that would do it, it probably would be MLB.
Yeah. So I don't see it as that far-fetched. I say it is very realistic, to be honest with you.
Well, look at what happened with Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Perfect example right
Pete
there.
Pete Rose, his crime had nothing to do with how he played the game.
Exactly.
He always bet it on himself.
Yeah. If he was trying to bet to win money, he could have easily thrown games and not perform well. But he's
right.
One of the best players of all time.
He has the most hits of any Major League Baseball player in history.
Exactly.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
so
there you go, baseball.
Yeah, baseball. Baseball logic.
Baseball logic.
I think we should start a hashtag.
Hashtag baseball logic.
Yes, there we go.
Always complain about calls. Don't want instant replay. Hashtag baseball logic.
Yes.
Oh, that was a bad call. No, we can't. Oh, we can't have instant replay. It ruins the integrity of the game. What integrity? If you're going to bitch about every single friggin' play, don't come to me about integrity.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant for today.
Offensive players aren't allowed to touch the ball. Baseball logic.
Baseball logic. Throw no hitter and lose the game. Baseball logic.
Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we should start this contest. I don't know. Maybe this could be a contest.
Send us your best baseball logic moment.
Yeah.
And maybe if they're good enough, maybe we'll read one or two on the air.
I think we should do that.
I think so.
Yeah, we just invented something.
We invented something.
We did it.
We are the creators.
We did it. We did it. We did it. Yay.
We did it.
Yay.
We invented a hashtag. during the break. That's what we're going to do.
All right. I agree. We should do that.
All right. But you know what? We'll leave that to the Twitters and to the social media atmosphere. We'll let you guys ponder over that. In the meantime, I think we should get into a more pressing issue than baseball logic. How about that? Especially for Mike.
That sounds good to me. And of course, as you mentioned, especially for me, this is one of my favorite topics of sports.
It's time for some football!
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and fuck football!
Ooh, football!
Not just any football. But it's playoff football.
That's right. I mean, we're starting to whittle the teams down.
We are truly getting to the best of the best here.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. With honors. You know, he's just really excited and he has no clue why we're here.
Oh, but we have a clue, and we just got over the divisional round.
That's right. That's right. We just wrapped up the divisional round, of which I performed much better with my picks.
We did too.
I have to say, everybody bounced back.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of felt everything out after that random wild card.
Well, the wild card. Why do you think it's called the wild card?
Yeah,
it is wild. You don't expect anything, but the divisional round, a lot of blowouts actually. When you think about it. The Patriots just dismantling the Colts the way that they did, 43-22. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a shame, though, because the Colts could have had a chance to keep up with the Patriots, but you just saw Andrew Luck and the rest of that Colts team break down in the third quarter.
But as we said, you know, the Colts record is, in my opinion, a little inflated.
Yeah, and I would agree, too.
But I didn't expect the 49ers to beat the Panthers 23-10. I thought it was going to be closer than that.
I did.
But I didn't expect it to be a two-score game. That was kind of – I thought it would be much closer for two such defensively-oriented teams.
Yeah, but you know what? The 49ers have really been playing their best football at the right time.
They really have. They're on a hot streak right now.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, this proves it. Third straight NFC championship game appearance for the 49ers.
Wow. They are something. And I remember, you know, for several years before they went on this string of playoff appearances, I always said, you know, the 49ers, they're a good team. They could take that division if they only applied themselves. And look at this.
New head coach and bam.
Bam.
I also think this is the first time in history that a head coach's first three seasons have all resulted in a championship game appearance.
Wow.
So just to speak to Jim Harbaugh, right? I always get the brothers. I always get them confused.
Yeah, I think John is in Baltimore.
Yeah, there you go.
Because he used to coach for the Eagles. He was our special teams coach, I think.
Hey, you need a good special teams coach.
Yeah, and we ship him off and he wins the Super Bowl. So there you go. Andy Reid logic.
Hashtag Andy Reid logic. First things first, we'll do our baseball logic. Yeah. But, you know,
this pissed me off so much this past weekend, watching the Seahawks and watching Earl Thomas play. He's an all-pro. He's a candidate for defensive player of the year. Do you remember that draft? I do, because I researched the safeties that year. And I said, we're going to get Earl Thomas. We're going to get Earl Thomas, and we're going to replace Brian Dawkins finally. But who did we draft? Brandon Graham.
Woo!
Exactly.
Yeah!
Do you even know who that is?
Well, see you later.
Exactly.
Did that fit?
Yes. Yes, it did. I don't know how closely you follow. After we got rid of Brian Dawkins, that was a major obsession for me. It was trying to see what safety we were going to get to replace him. We ended up with Nate Allen, which Philadelphia fans know how that turned out. But we passed up Earl Thomas, and we picked Brandon Graham. That always pisses me off. And watching him play for Seattle just makes me hate Andy Reid logic even more. I went off on a little rant there.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
I have no idea how to combat that, but all right. But with that, it comes down to the NFC Championship game. It'll be an NFC West showdown, the 49ers versus the Seahawks. Mike will be in pain.
Oh, boy. Yeah, a division rivalry, too.
Yeah. I find it interesting when the divisions rivals meet each other when the division rivals meet each other in the championship game.
Yeah, that's I don't know. I don't remember that happening that much in recent memory.
It happens, but
I know it happens, but I can't recall any off the top of my head.
I remember the Steelers had to face the Ravens when they won their when they won their championship. So I mean, it happens.
It does happen, but it always makes for a great game because those rivalry games by themselves are always amazing. And now you add the playoffs on top of that. That's what football's about, people.
Yep. And also, by that point, it's usually their third time meeting up, so that also adds some history to it, too.
Yeah, it's a bitter rivalry and, you know, battle-hardened players, maybe. Well, especially for the Seahawks and the 49ers, their record is tied this year, 1-1. So this breaks their division tie, and it determines who goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so there's a lot on the line.
Yeah,
yeah, not just a little bit. But you know what with that? Should we just dive right in? I think we should just go right in for our picks.
I think so. We've been talking about them, you know, for the past minute or so anyway, so I think it's about time.
All right, let's hold off no further. It's time for the best of the best picks, the championship round. All right, and the music kicks in. Are you ready to go for our championship picks?
I'm ready, and as you said, it's the best of the best. We no longer have four matchups this week, only two. The four best teams. First up, we have Tom Brady facing Peyton Manning in Brady Manning Bowl 15, the 15th time.
Wow.
These two players have matched up since 2001. We are the Patriots traveling to Denver to face the Broncos. Rich, what do you got?
I'm going to support the people that say that this is going to go down as the best rivalry of this era. It is.
I definitely think so.
As much as these two quarterbacks get all the hype, it's well deserved, to be honest with you. I mean, these guys truly are the best of the best when it comes to quarterbacks. They're always in the middle of the playoff hunts this last decade or so. And this year, no different. Brady Manning, Bowl 15, the fourth time that they've met in the playoffs. Couple of interesting stats I want to lay out for you. In the playoffs, Brady has won two of these matchups. Manning has won one of these matchups. In all three of those matchups, the winner has gone on to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So
if the trend continues, a lot of history here.
Yeah, if the trend continues, whoever wins this is going to win the Super Bowl. And for the Patriots, this is the first time they've had to go on the road in a playoff game since 2006.
Wow.
Yeah, that's dominance on the Patriots' part. After all that, I'm just going to go right on and say it. I think Broncos are going to win this. The Broncos are at home. They should be comfortable. They got a little scared against the Chargers. You know, the Chargers rallied back a little bit. I think that's going to be enough to whip them into shape, to let them know that, you know, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. They need to show up on Sunday and make sure they handle the Patriots. And the Patriots, you know, that defense is very suspect. You know, they tend to give up big plays. I say Manning is going to be ruthless. He is not going to want to let what could be potentially his last Super Bowl chance slip by him like that, especially to Tom Brady. I say the Broncos win the AFC Championship and Manning goes to the Super Bowl.
Wow, some bold picks there. You know what? I had a tough time deciding this one, going back and forth. I look at the history. I look at the fact that Tom Brady is 10-4 against Peyton Manning overall, and that's just a huge stat. But then I look at the Broncos and I'm thinking, gosh, they're such a great team. They're stacked on offense. They're good on defense. Peyton Manning breaking every single record this season. They're at home. Like you mentioned, the other matchups that Brady and Manning have faced off have always been in New England. Maybe the home field advantage will help them out a little bit. I'm not sure. I'm really uncertain about this pick. I'm going to go out on a limb, though, and I'm going to say the Broncos. I think Manning overcomes the shadow of Tom Brady, and I think he gets it done once and for all, finally. I just think there's too much offensive power on that team to not overcome the Patriots. I'm going with Broncos.
And what does Bruno, our associate producer, think?
John Bruno is in agreement. He picks Broncos as well.
So
3-for-3 for the Broncos.
So there's no excuse for Peyton Manning if he loses.
That's right. Next up, we have the battle for the West Coast as two division rivals match up in the NFC Championship game. We have San Francisco 49ers traveling all the way up north to Seattle to face the Seahawks. As I mentioned before, they're 1-1 this season. But Rich, how do you think this last battle will end up?
Not only is this the NFC West showdown we've been hoping for, but I mean, both of these teams have identical profiles when you think about it. A mobile, exciting quarterback, very tough defenses on both of these squads, powerhouse running. I mean, these teams are literally built almost the exact same way. With that being said, usually in those situations, usually the home team takes it, or there's usually some other factor that does. But you know what? I think the San Francisco 49ers and Colin Kaepernick want to show that they're not going to be the victims of Super Bowl losers hangover syndrome. I think they've got a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And I think they're playing, like I said before, they're playing their best football at the right time. You know, they started out this season rocky, and that kind of flipped the switch on that they had to get some work done, you know, and a sign they didn't win the division. That's also kind of a little bit of an insult, you know, that they weren't able to take care of their own business in their own division. There's just something about them. I like it. I think it's going to be 49ers repeating as NFC champions.
Wow. All right. Well, like you mentioned, both these teams are very similar. They both have outstanding defenses, strong running offenses, mobile quarterbacks. But you know what? I've been picking Seahawks all year. I don't see any reason to change. I think that they have performed incredibly well this year. They only strengthened their case by beating Drew Brees and the Saints. There's just something about them. Colin Kaepernick is not the same as he was last year. Meanwhile, the Seahawks have really made a name for themselves this year and just winning outstanding game after outstanding game. I think that they're going to be the true dark horse this year and surprise everyone by actually making it to the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody expected the Seahawks to go 13-3 and make it this far. I think they're finally going to take that last step and make it to the big game. I'm going with Seahawks.
Okay, and what does Bruno say?
JB goes with Seahawks as well. He's
okay, fair enough.
Always a fan of the bird teams, it seems.
He likes his birds.
He likes his birds, that's right. So, there you have it.
There you go. I'm the only one in disagreement. I think it'll be the 49ers, but hey, all we'll see. I mean,
anything can happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know what? At this point, all four of these teams are... It's not surprising that they're not in it. You know that they are in it. Sorry.
Yeah.
I had too many negatives there.
Too many negatives.
But anyway, the point is, all four of these teams are great, and whichever teams make it to the Super Bowl, it'll be fun to watch.
I think it's going to be an amazing Super Bowl.
That's right. And those are our best of the best picks for the championship round of the NFL playoffs. Woo! I'm excited, you know.
I'm excited too. And honestly, either of those games could go either way.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
Are the two hardest picks all year, I think.
All four of these teams deserve to be in the position they're in.
Yeah. I mean, literally, just throw a dart at the board and, you know, you have a chance of picking them as we do.
Yeah. Really, yeah. But you're better off just throwing the dart. Okay.
I should have picked him out of a hat. Knowing my track record.
Well, you know what? We'll give you the chance to do it during our first commercial break. How about that?
All right.
If you want to go do that with a hat. But in the meantime, we're going to have to go to a commercial break. But don't go anywhere. We've got the entertainment entree coming up, as well as our exclusive interview with Mark Coonrippy Brown, the Raccoon Man.
That's right. We're recapping the Golden Globes. We have political interviews. And
if you can dub that political interview.
Maybe. It's towing the line, but I think it counts. But anyway, the point is, we got good stuff coming up.
That's right, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
It's time to feel the chill in the air. Not just outside, but inside as well at the Springfield Ice Skating Rink. We offer lessons, ice rentals, parties, and we are also available for fundraisers. We're also open for public skating every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sundays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. That's the Springfield Ice Skating Rink, 400 West Sproul Road in Springfield, PA in Delaware County. Go to SpringfieldIceRink.com for more details. For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right, and we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh, man. We got so much show left to go, so don't go anywhere. But just in the nick of time, we're going to get entertaining on you. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right.
It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all singing, all dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Tonight, Mike.
Well, first up, we actually have some breaking news that broke right before we went to record.
Uh-oh, what is it?
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the intro music, but that's right, HBO's The Newsroom has been renewed for a third, yet sadly, final season.
Wow.
Yeah, and we talked about this at length, about how we didn't think it would be renewed. Yeah. We thought it was never coming back.
I mean, they could have ended it just at that second season finale. So this is kind of startling news. The series creator, he was very mum on whether there was going to be another season. So, I mean, this is kind of shocking, but you know, good to hear that there's going to be one more season.
Yeah, I'm glad that's going to come back. I felt that it was too wrapped up, and I'm just curious now about where this could possibly go.
Well, I mean, we'll find out. I mean, we'll see if there's a further storyline that happens with
Atlanta Cable News.
It's not Atlanta.
Maybe it's Atlantic.
I think it's Atlantis.
Atlantis?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know. Should I look it up?
Yeah, maybe.
But where do you think that they could go from where they ended the previous season?
I don't know.
It's so wrapped up. Literally every single plot line was sort of wrapped up nice and neat.
Yeah. So
at least I thought for the most part.
The only thing I think they could run with would be the actual cable company, the actual news cable company.
Which is Atlantis Cable News, you were correct.
Yeah!
I always thought it was Atlanta.
It's a miracle!
Woo!
I always thought it was Atlanta. I was wrong. In all fairness, though, Atlantis and Atlanta are very, very close, I think.
We do listen to you people. Sometimes.
All right, then.
There you go.
Sometimes. Anyway, the good news is that it looks like the entire cast is returning. Olivia Munn, Dev Patel, John Gallagher, Emily Mortimer, Sam Waterston, Allison Pill, and Thomas Sadowski, of course, joining Jeff Daniels. So they got everybody back. That's a very important thing.
Yeah, as long as they've got Sam Waterston back, I'm happy. He's one of my favorite characters on that show.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's the old grizzly. What is veteran. He? The head of the
news division.
Yeah.
He's one of the best characters on that show.
But let's not downplay how amazing Jeff Daniels is either. I mean, winning the
won an Emmy for
Emmy
it.
For it. Yeah. And
I mean, then, that's pretty major.
I think it's interesting that he won an Emmy for The Newsroom. Then he went and he filmed Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yep.
And he's going to go back to do the final season of The Newsroom.
Hey, guys. Whoa, big golf, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Yep. He goes from the exquisite storytelling of The Newsroom to, well, see you later. And then back again.
I think that's just a testament to his ability, though.
Yeah.
But we are anxiously awaiting the third season, which will begin filming in the spring and hopefully will air sometime this fall. That's as much as HBO is willing to reveal. So
yeah, I can't wait though. That'll be exciting that there'll be one more season.
Oh, I know. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And of course, Aaron Sorkin is just amazing. His writing and directing, just phenomenal. So everybody is anxiously awaiting the third and final season of The Newsroom. It's going to be a blast. But speaking of award-winning TV shows, something big happened over the weekend.
We had something that is mentioned in our entertainment entree sound.
That's right, it is.
Sound bed. The Golden Globes. We had the Golden Globes over the weekend.
All right.
I did not see Warren Beatty at the urinal, but, you know.
Oh, were you in attendance? Oh.
I wish.
It's a miracle!
Yes, Leo, it would be a miracle.
Maybe you could blackmail him with that clip.
It's a miracle!
That is embarrassing.
It is pretty embarrassing. Especially considering that he is a winner this year.
That's
just
right.
Just to kick things off. Just figure since you played his clip, we'll just start with Leonardo DiCaprio winning for Best Performance in a Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy for his role in The Wolf of Wall Street, which I didn't realize was considered a comedy, but I guess it sort of has a comical twist to it.
I mean, really, the rule of thumb is if it's not a straight-out drama,
it's a comedy.
It goes to comedy.
So if it's not The Godfather, it's a comedy.
but it's just there's so many drama movies that's just the way they have to do it.
Maybe they should refine that category though, because it's musical or comedy, and you have movies like The Wolf of Wall Street and American Hustle, which I haven't seen either one of them, but neither of them struck me as a comedy or a musical? Unless, was there a lot of singing in American Hustle?
No, there's not a lot of singing, but there's a lot of jokes.
Okay. Well, a lot of jokes doesn't make a movie a comedy.
No, but I mean, the rule of thumb is a serious drama or nothing at all. you're in the comedy section.
Wow. Serious drama or nothing.
Yeah. Or you're in the comedy section. It's the way it is.
So what's Star Wars then? Is that a comedy?
Star Wars is everything.
Star Wars is everything to everyone.
Yes, all right.
It is the beginning and the end, alpha and omega.
Yeah. All right. Star Wars is God. Now,
Star Wars is God.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Don't question it.
Okay. Not with you around.
All right. Well, speaking of this best performance in a motion picture, musical, or comedy, for the actress category, Amy Adams pulls it out with American Hustle. She was great in that.
Yeah, you saw that. How was she in that?
She was good.
Yeah? Deserving of the award, you think?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah?
In that,
and she beat out Meryl Streep, though, which is interesting because I thought all the buzz was around her.
Meryl Streep always gets buzzed, though, whenever she's nominated. She's been nominated so many times. It's probably getting old. Oh, she's in it again.
Enough already, lady.
Interesting, though. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was nominated both for a movie and a TV show.
That's right. That's right. She was.
It was a joke that they pointed out that she had the switch from the TV side of the room to the movie side of the room.
I don't think that the room should be segregated like that.
Yeah. One... Acting Coalition for America.
That's right. Why shouldn't it be?
Why not?
Speaking of great movies, best director went to Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity. I think that's well deserved.
Yeah, you know, all those movies are worthy in this category.
I think so.
Did you hear the joke about Gravity?
I did not.
This is what Tina Fey had to say about Gravity. You want to take a listen to this one, Mike?
Sure.
Would rather float away into space and die than spend one more minute with a woman his own age.
That's pretty good right
that,
there.
That is pretty much right.
That is pretty much right.
Moving on here, there was also best performance. You know what? How about we knock out the comedy section altogether?
Okay.
Best motion picture, musical, or comedy did go to American Hustle, and I think that's well-deserving of it. And then you go to best supporting performance in a motion picture for a musical or comedy. And it was, Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle, for supporting actress. And then Jared Leto as supporting actor for Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, actually not on my radar at all.
Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of flew under the radar. But, I think, what pulled it off was, Jared Leto pulls off the role of a, transsexual in that movie, and that's kind of
wow.
You know,
that's
to
a tough acting gig, right?
Yeah,
there.
It is. So I think they gave him the nod for that, for you know, that tough role.
But speaking of Dallas Buyers Club, Matthew McConaughey took away the best performance in a motion picture for a drama for his lead role there as Ron Woodroof. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And, you know, he knocked out Tom Hanks and Robert Redford there. That's some heavy hitters there.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of big names up for Best Actor.
That's right. And then on the other side, for Best Performance in a Motion Picture Drama for Actress, Kate Blanchett pulls it off for Blue Jasmine.
Yeah, going up against Sandra Bullock for Gravity, Judi Dench, Emma Thompson, Kate Winslet, big names here going up against one another for the category.
That's
I didn't see Blue Jasmine, but I hear it's very good.
And then to pull it off for Best Motion Picture for Drama, 12 Years a Slave. And that was their only win.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was funny. I was kind of monitoring social media as the Golden Globes went on. And there was kind of a concern going on that 12 Years a Slave wasn't winning any awards.
Yeah, nominated for 7, and
yeah.
That's really their only win? Wow.
That was their only win. Luckily, and they pulled it off. That was the last award of the night.
Wow.
Yeah, there could have been some... angry reviewers if 12 Years a Slave didn't at least pull out one win.
Yeah, especially since leading up to the release, I remember reading about it and the critics were going on and on about how it's comparable to Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, and it's such a moving, powerful, emotional film. I'm surprised it didn't win more, actually.
Yeah, but it did win the major one, Best Motion Picture Drama. And that was the last award of the night, so got the most airtime.
Well, before we move on to TV, why don't we just touch on the Best Animated Feature Film was won by Frozen, a Disney film. Oddly enough, Pixar didn't have a movie out this year, I don't think, at all, which
kind of
surprising. But I just figured I should mention that because I've read a lot of critics saying that Frozen is one of Disney's best movies since Beauty and the Beast. So getting a lot of hype in the world of animated film.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't really do animated films a whole lot.
Well, I just figured it was worth noting.
Yeah, you're the expert on that, Mike.
I just figure it's worth mentioning that two films won multiple awards, and that's American Hustle with 3 wins and Dallas Buyers Club with 2 wins.
There you go. And I saw American Hustle over the weekend. It was good.
So I guess that about wraps it up for the film section. How about we move on to TV now then?
Yep, for television. Best series. How about we just lay out the best series here? Best series, musical or comedy? Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That was a surprise.
Yeah.
You know what's funny though is that I've been watching that from the very start. When I heard that Andy Samberg was going to be doing his own series, I thought that's going to be one to get into. And I've been watching it since the beginning. I have to say it is very, very funny. But going up against Modern Family and Parks and Rec, I honestly did not see that winning, and I don't think they saw it winning either, because, speaking of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Andy Samberg also won Best Performance in a TV Series for a Musical or Comedy for his role as Jake Peralta, and he was shocked.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw him, but he just was completely stunned.
Yeah, he had no idea what to do.
But if you're out there and you're not following the show, I highly recommend it. It's very, very funny.
And on the flip side of that, best performance in a television series for a musical or comedy, Amy Poehler, the show's co-host, won for Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, I think maybe that was rigged a little bit, that Amy Poehler won, and she was hosting at the same time. I'm kidding. She is amazing in Parks and Rec. As you know, Rich, it's one of my favorite shows on TV right now. Yeah. But going up against Zooey Deschanel in New Girl is incredibly funny. I don't know if you watch that show at all, but that is really, really funny. And she's, I think, done an excellent job on that show. But you know what? Let's turn things over to the drama side of things, because that's where all the real buzz happens. Best series drama, of course, goes to Breaking Bad, one of my newest favorite shows. I got into it really late, but I watched the entire series over the past few months, and it is just outstanding.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it was obligation, you know. It's their last season, and it was their final send-off. Give them the award. Why not?
Yeah, and it really is deserving of it. It's just amazing drama. Every episode ends in a cliffhanger, and you just want to keep watching. And that's why it's so dangerous on Netflix, because you could you could watch an entire season and not even realize it. You could just, in one sitting, it's that good. Of course, Bryan Cranston won for Best Performance in a Television Series Drama for his role as Walter White in Breaking Bad. Oh, man. There is a role for the ages right there.
Yeah. Again, kind of a no shocker. He deserves that one.
It's nice to see Breaking Bad win 2 awards, though.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, Best Performance in a Television Series Drama, Robin Wright of House of Cards, representing the House of Cards as Claire Underwood.
Yeah.
Pulling it off there.
Netflix taking home another award for its exclusive series, the political drama, House of Cards. I still have not gotten a chance to watch that. I will someday watch the first season.
You better get up.
I know the second season is coming out in February, I think.
Yeah, you better catch up on that. Moving on to Best Supporting Performance in a series, miniseries, or television film. John Voight pulls it off as Mickey Donovan in Ray Donovan, which that was a little bit of a shock. knocking off Rob Lowe in Behind the Candelabra.
And Aaron Paul for Breaking Bad.
Also, Corey Stoll in House of Cards. He was also pretty good in that as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of tough competition there. I was very sad that Aaron Paul didn't win for Breaking Bad.
It is John Voight, though.
Yeah. But Jesse Pinkman is one of the best characters that I've watched in TV recently. It was great that he was nominated at least, though. So at least he gets that recognition.
For Best Supporting Actress, the winner, Jacqueline Blissett. And the only reason why she's memorable is because NBC had to bleep out pretty much 90% of her acceptance speech. It was laden with S-bombs and F-bombs.
Yeah, and I watched it. It was not that great of an acceptance speech.
Yeah.
I think that she gave an explanation saying she wasn't prepared for it or something like that.
And she was drunk.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Samberg wasn't prepared for his either, but he at least handled it with class and proper decorum. Whereas she.
Also, a good night for Behind the Candelabra, as Michael Douglas took home Best Performance in a Miniseries or Television Film as Liberace, and also the series itself, Behind the Candelabra, took home Best Television Film.
That's right. Behind the Candelabra was nominated for 4 awards, tied for most in TV with House of Cards, oddly enough.
Woo!
But the multiple winners from the TV categories are Behind the Candelabra, Breaking Bad, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine with 2 wins each. Do you ever think they'd be mentioning Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Behind the Candelabra and Breaking Bad?
I did not see Brooklyn Nine-Nine getting this much publicity.
I'm telling you, start watching it. It's funny stuff. Funny, funny stuff.
Yeah, I guess gonna have to check it out now.
Yeah, you can say it's a Golden Globe award-winning television series.
That's right. So, congratulations to all the winners. And, you know what? I'm going to play 2 more jokes from, that show. Why not?
Why don't we talk about the actual presentation of the awards? Because Tina Fey and Amy Poehler hosted it again, right?
Yes, they did. But, you know, here's two of the, besides the gravity joke, which you jumped the gun on. It's all right.
Sorry.
Here's 2 more jokes I pulled from the night that I thought were hilarious. All right, this joke was actually the very first joke of the night, and it's a nice reference to one of my favorite directors, Martin Scorsese.
All right, this should be good.
Let's play the clip here.
We're going to get the show done in 3 hours, or as Martin Scorsese calls it, Act 1.
So there you go.
It's true. It's true. It's true.
Martin Scorsese movies always tend to go on pretty long.
Yeah. What is it? Goodfellas. What's that, like 4 hours?
See, Casino.
Casino.
That's
yeah.
like 3.5 hours long. If you have to watch Casino on broadcast network TV,
block out a whole day,
it's
right?
It's the whole day. You might as well, yeah. Between that and commercials, yeah. It's the whole day. All right. And the second joke is actually delivered by Jim Carrey, who was there in attendance.
Oh, nice.
So let's play his joke of the night.
Dying is easy. Comedy is hard. I believe it was Shia LaBeouf who said that.
Wow.
That got a lot of laughs throughout the room there.
Yeah. Well, he just retired, actually.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Like, that was my reaction, too. He announced it like he was some big, important actor retiring. Like, it was like Tom Hanks retiring. He's like, I'm going to retire. It's so sad. Now nobody will be able to laugh at me in Transformers 7, Rise of the Robots.
Transformers, we need to replace the fuse box.
We need to replace the fuse box. I gotta get my oil changed. Autobots, roll out!
So anyway, that was your night at the Golden Globes. It was a good show, though. I thought it was a good show by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And other than that random Best Supporting Actress not knowing where to go and not knowing that she can't say the S-bomb, I thought it was a pretty good night.
Yeah, it was a good show. I only caught brief moments of it, but from what I saw, it was, pretty good. Standard fare for award shows.
Yep. But it's a precursor to the Oscars. And those Oscar nominations will be going out later this week. So,
oh, well, there's something to look forward to. Award season is always fun.
Yeah, it is. You know, pitting the movies against each other and seeing
who... Everybody's got their favorites and, you know, there's always that one film or TV show that sneaks in and wins a couple, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or there's always that one upset. People can't believe that that happened, you know?
Yep. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. But for this week, it was the Golden Globes' time to shine. And with that, I think we're actually going to cut the entertainment entree short for this episode.
That's right.
Because we are going to get to our side dish. Woo! Yeah! Side dish! And on this side dish, for the first time ever, we're actually going to have a special guest call in on the show. How do you like that? Woo! Yeah.
And it's not going to be staged like it was with JB.
No, we actually have an actual interview.
A real life phone interview with none other than Mark Coonrippy Brown, otherwise known as
the Raccoon Man. And he's actually calling in to the show. That's why I'm playing Call on Me right now.
Yeah.
It fits. Call on Me. You didn't get that, did you?
No, I got it. Are we at the point where we have to explain the clips, though?
Maybe.
All right, guys. We're playing this because somebody's calling in.
Yep. So without further ado, let's get to our special guest on the line. All right, folks. And on the phone right now, we have what could be potentially the next governor of Tennessee. Folks, please welcome Mark Coonrippy Brown, otherwise known as the Raccoon Man. How are you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. What about yourself?
Doing well up here in Philly. I mean, what an unbelievable story this is for you, Mark. I mean, you know, you posted a couple of these funny YouTube clips, and then all of a sudden you've got this momentum all of a sudden that now you're an internet celebrity. I mean, how was that transition?
Well, it ain't like it happened overnight. It's about 2 years in the making.
2 years? That's when you started first doing the raccoon videos?
Yeah.
I mean, those are really fun. I mean, whose idea was it? I mean, did you say, like, hey, somebody should record me with the raccoon? Or, like, I mean, how did that...
No, it wasn't my idea at all. It was my girlfriend's idea. She's the one behind the camera. She's the one that comes up with the idea.
What? So your girlfriend is the one that records it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a pretty good girlfriend to have, that she's willing to record you with your raccoon.
Yeah.
A good eye to pick up on that. I'm just curious, how did you and Rebecca the raccoon meet? How does a person go about getting a pet raccoon?
Well, I was in the animal control business, and Gunsho, the first raccoon male, he was orphaned inside the wall up under a bathtub, and I extracted him after the mother had been captured and relocated, not knowing that there was a baby under there. And then Rebecca came to me. There was a local high school that had a chicken coop project, and there was a raccoon in there killing chickens, and the ag teacher ordered two students to go in there and kill the mother with a piece of pipe, not knowing that there was a baby in there. And one of the students got the baby, called me, and I went to the rescue.
Wow. I mean, that's actually a nice-hearted story there, that you had to rescue this one.
Yeah, but I wound up being the bad guy.
Yeah, it's funny how it always winds up that way. So you have experience with wild animals in your professional life, and so you just decided to take on this particular raccoon as a pet then?
I had raised the other one. The local authorities had been called over the first one, and they never did respond, and it left me to raise the baby, so I never did call them the second time, because, hey, it was pointless. If you didn't come, you know, over the first one, why even make an attempt to call over the second one?
How did you figure out that, like, the raccoon liked to shower with you?
Well, she just followed you through the house, and she just did what humans did.
So you think, like, the raccoon was trying to, like, mimic what humans do?
Well, probably more, not so much as that, as not wanting to be out of my sight, because she was imprinted.
She was imprinted? What do you mean by that?
Meaning when she had her eyes open, then that's all she knew that she was. No different than when a chicken egg hatches, if the first thing it sees is a human or a dog or a cow or whatever, it's going to follow that as opposed to its mother if the mother's not there.
Oh, okay.
So it sees you as a parental figure then?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then there you go. And that's where the relationship formed. And this amazing story that we read last week on the show came from. I have an interesting question. How do you address the raccoon? How do you address Rebecca? Like, do you actually try to talk to the raccoon as a raccoon, or do you just talk it like a human?
Well, I just talk to it like you would any other household pet. Call it by name, different commands, no. Come here, stop, quit. You know, they understand.
Just the basic commands. What pet do you think owning a raccoon is the most similar to?
A cross between a cat and a monkey.
Wow.
A cat and a monkey. I thought my cat was a monkey, but apparently it could be much worse. I guess it could be if you have the high-flying daredevil antics, right?
Well, this thing could use its front paws like we use our hands. It was capable of undoing any type of latch, of coon-proofing, so to speak, that I could come up with.
Coon-proofing?
The thing actually evolved overnight.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
That sounds dangerous to have, but that sounds awesome,
though.
Well,
if we could take that knowledge, that learning ability that they're capable of doing overnight, and inject that into some humans that I know, it could be a scientific breakthrough.
Yeah, that would definitely be a breakthrough.
Yeah. Some people could definitely use a boost of problem-solving ability.
Oh, yeah, I've got close friends that don't know how to tie their shoes.
Oh gosh!
So wait, all right. Would your friend who would not be able to tie his shoes? Do you think he could escape some of the things that Rebecca has?
That raccoon could probably taught some of my close friends how to tie their shoes, as well as hold a fork and eat.
Wow!
Wow! So Rebecca's also very polite. She handles her fork well.
Yes.
That's awesome. How about speaking of these coon-proofing, what's the weirdest thing you've found Rebecca doing in your house?
Well, interesting enough, that back during when Gunshow was alive, I received a pocket knife for Christmas as a gift from my daughter, and I had lost it. I didn't know what I did with it. I knew it was somewhere in the house, but I just didn't know where. And I tore the place apart. Well, Gunshow came and go. Came and went, died, whatever, and then Rebecca had her free run of the house, and one day I saw her playing with something, and lo and behold, it was my pocket knife. Now, Gunshow evidently had taken it and hidden it somewhere, and Rebecca had found it.
Wow.
So I've been reunited with my pocket knife.
So Rebecca the raccoon is actually kind of a master at hide and seek. Oh. She can find things.
Yeah.
You know, your story just really touched us on this show. We thought, you know, it was so sad that you had Rebecca taken away from you. What has the journey been like trying to gain enough support to get Rebecca back?
This journey has been devastating, and we are looking for some type of closure. We had called numerous times to the TWRA, the governor's office. We had written letters. We had the entire United States and other countries sign petitions for us. We actually petitioned out in front of Capitol Hill, down in Nashville, and it just fell on deaf ears. And I finally decided to, hey, it's time that I let the people know that our government doesn't care. They're not listening to the cries of the people. They're more concerned with other issues. We are the people, so to speak. And it's time that our voice is heard. And so I decided to run for governor, and I've pretty much stirred up the stink here in the volunteer state.
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, what made you, what elevated it to you felt that you needed to run for governor? I mean,
I had made mention back last fall that the Honorable Governor Haslam, who I voted for, I said it was going to be kind of awkward that if Haslam is running for governor again in 2014, how is he going to avoid questions from the media about Rebecca when he's got other things to do? And I said, do not forget the raccoon vote. And lo and behold, here I am.
I like that, the raccoon vote.
That's right.
So let me ask you this, all right? Let's say you win. Let's say you're the next governor of Tennessee. What is going to be your first act as governor?
My first act of governor is to reform animal laws. I did not take this raccoon from the wild. It was orphaned. And Tennessee law now says that any wildlife cannot be taken in by a person. Okay, so that means if a baby robin falls from a nest, you take it in the house to try to nurture it, you violated the law. If a child picks up a box turtle, takes it to school for show and tell, he has violated the law. And we need a little bit of common sense when it comes to that type of law. No, do not go out and rob a baby out from under its mother. But in the event the mother is dead or whatever, the baby has been orphaned, mm-hmm. and orphaned having its own meaning, then it should be up to that person or persons that meet the requirements to know how to care for said animal in that particular species. Then they ought to be able to raise it without Big Brother kicking the door in and coming in and seizing it and sticking the needle in it. Wow. The Rebecca Law. That's the first thing I'm going to do. Then we'll worry about other things. We've got to cater to the people first.
And that would definitely be newsworthy, especially if you complete the circle and you call it Rebecca's Law or something. Like, that would be a great conclusion to this story.
That's what I'm here for. I am the voice of the people.
And I also wanted to ask you this question. All right, in your announcement video that you were going to run for Tennessee governor, you said that you're going to be unlike the other politicians. And that if you wanted to call your governor, you would be there to answer. And I've got to admit, sir, when I got your number in an email, I called that number. I thought for sure I was going to get an assistant or something, or maybe like your girlfriend. And instead, I actually got you. So I want to give you props that the number that is that people refer to whenever they're dealing with contacts with your campaign is your number. That's awesome.
Even in Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, whatever, we've all got state representatives, congressmen or whatever, and they all have their phone number posted on their website. Well, they just as well post a 900 number because they're not going to answer the phone. And that's wrong. Do not post a phone number that you're not going to answer if you are voted for and put in office by the people. Answer the phone.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. If you put me in office, I at least owe it to you to answer the phone when you call.
Well, you really are the people's champion. You have a great cause that people can get behind. You're very personal in the fact that you answer your own phone calls, something that a lot of politicians probably don't do.
All of them don't.
Yeah, all of them don't do that.
Yeah.
I'll never stay out of touch with the people who put me in office.
Well, that's commendable.
That's just wrong. You don't get elected to an office and go inside and lock the door and pull the blinds.
That's right. That is definitely a good stance.
And like I said in the video, we got to bring this country back one state at a time, and we're starting with Tennessee.
Wow. So what do you think your chances are of actually winning this race?
Slim or none.
But you're still going to try, right?
Well, from what I've gathered so far, every one of the Democrats just running has dropped out of the race because this is going down in history as one of the most bizarre elections in the state, I mean, in the history of the United States election. So we'll see what happens. But even in my case, a no win is still a win by the publicity we have brought to government not paying attention to the cries of the people.
That's right, because, you know, hey, right here in Philadelphia, we picked up your story and we covered it last week on our show. So, I mean, your message is getting out there.
Well, I say we are one nation under God, not above God.
Well, we hope that you do well in the upcoming primary. And, you know, when is the primary? Isn't it more towards the summer?
August. So we've got all summer to kick up a little dust, as they say.
Yeah, I like that attitude. Kick up the dust.
Like I said before, I'm not here to smooth anybody's fur. I'm going to tell it like it is, as they say. And if I can't get an amen for you, I'm going to say it myself, amen.
I like that. Yeah. If I don't get an amen out of you, I'm going to say amen for myself.
That's right. If I can't get one out of you, I'm going to say it for myself, amen.
I like that. I like that slogan.
That is a great attitude.
I'll finish on one more question, all right? And this also has to do with the video that you released. In the video, you mentioned an analogy beginning with an apple, and you didn't finish it. Do you have any idea where you're going with that, or?
Yeah, that was my little bit of George Bush humor.
All right.
Yeah.
Everybody loves humor.
Yeah, that was my little George Bushism for the day.
George Bushism.
Rather than make up a word, I just had a brain fart deliberately in honor of the our great president, George Bush.
That was awesome. I got to admit, that sold that clip.
It really did.
Hey, it worked.
It did. Got our attention.
That's right. It got our attention. It got us talking about it.
Yeah, you were right.
Yeah, like I said, just like the purity of this apple. Well, I don't know where I was going with that, but anyway.
Yes.
That was my little Bushism.
Well, I got to admit, those are pretty funny. Maybe you might want to go into comedy after this run for Tennessee governor.
Well, I mean, wherever you see a politician about the campaign speech, you throw humor in there. It's about time somebody did.
I just want to say that your story is amazing, and what a noble cause. I think you really, even if you don't win the governorship, I think you've done a great job in raising awareness for animal rights and just trying to create change in that field.
Before I go, remember, Swamp Music 12, come and join our Facebook page, or at least visit us at swampmusic12@youtube.com.
There you go, Swamp Music 12. Check it out online. Do a Google search. I'm sure you'll be able to find all of his videos. Once again, Mark, thank you for coming on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You did live up to your promise. I called you up and you answered.
There you go.
That's right. He's changing things. Folks, Mark Coonrippy Brown, the Raccoon Man, here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, you be particular.
What
was that?
I said you be particular.
Be particular? Is that your way of saying goodbye?
That's right.
I like that. That's be cool. Particular.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Oh, boy. What a call there.
That was a very nice conversation with the Raccoon Man.
I'm rooting for him.
Yeah. Last week, I think we pledged our support. And am I right? Did we pledge our support?
Yeah.
Officially? Unofficially?
You know what? At this point, it's official.
Yeah, I think so. We at the Crispy Noodle Podcast officially want to send our support. We are coming out and announcing to everyone that we are supporters of Mark Coonrippy Brown, the Raccoon Man.
Yes.
There you go.
Just for you. We just nailed down us simultaneously, so there you go. But you know what? After that extensive interview, I think it's time to take a commercial break. and regroup after that. But don't go anywhere, because we've got a fresh batch of odd news that we're going to get to in our non-fortune cookie odd news segment. So don't go anywhere. We might have the next Raccoon Man in our segment. You never know.
You never know. It's always a wild time when we do the odd news.
That's right. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. It's time to get really, really real with the man, the brand, the artist, Philadelphia's own Realism. The first hip-hop artist to release an album exclusively on innovative USB wristbands. The future of music just got real. Visit 4realism.com, that's the number 4, and also look for Realism on Facebook and Twitter. And get really, really real, and then tell them how you feel. Have you ever wanted to read a Hollywood biography that really goes deeper than just the headlines? A best-selling author has done exactly that. Guest of Totally Driven Radio, author Sarav Dutt has written the best-selling biographies on Oscar-nominated actor Mickey Rourke, teen heartthrob and star of The Lost Boys, Corey Haim, and has been commissioned to write the biography on Batman Forever star Val Kilmer. Check out these books, as well as his novel, The Pugilist's Son, whose proceeds are going to the Muhammad Ali Center. You can find these fine books on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, and of course, on iTunes. Chrissy Biasello, the obnoxious personality from Season 4 of MasterChef, now has her own business called The Rotund Chef. You can hire Chrissy to be a private chef. She also does in-home cooking demonstrations one-on-one for you or for you and your friends. If that wasn't enough, she also does catering as well. You may love her or you may hate her, but you will definitely want to cook like her. The Rotund Chef. Look for The Rotund Chef on Facebook for more details. And don't forget to listen to her new show, Fork Off with Chrissy Biasello, every Monday night on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I figured switch it up a little bit.
I like it.
Yeah, a little bit of DOP funk for you.
And it is funky, just like the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. But coming up next is another odd portion of the show. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. I'd say it's the oddest portion of the show.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
As everyone knows, this is my favorite portion of the show. Rich, he finds the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news with my gut first reactions. I've never heard these news stories before. They are completely new to me.
Yep, Mike doesn't know what is coming around the bend on this portion of the show.
Sometimes I'm speechless. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes we spin off into wild tangents with involving beavers and police chases and all the other singing, all the other weird things we've done in the odd news section.
Yep, and you never know. But this first story starts in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This should be interesting then.
Have you heard of the Swiss cheese pervert?
What?
Well, no. Now you do.
The Swiss cheese pervert?
Yep. In Philadelphia,
I'm thinking horrible, horrible thoughts right now.
Yep. In Philadelphia, there is a legend called the Swiss cheese pervert.
Why are we known for these things, people? You know, all the other cities have like something great to be remembered by. I know we, the birthplace of the country, you know, with independence and all that jazz. But then you go and you have people called the Swiss cheese pervert. Really? Guys, let's strive for something better, huh? Well, anyway, tell me, what did the Swiss cheese pervert do? I'm assuming something with Swiss cheese.
The suspect in question allegedly drives around Philadelphia, exposing himself to women, and offers them money to watch him put Swiss cheese on his privates.
Of course. All right, then.
And unfortunately, police have officially confirmed with Philadelphia Magazine that the Special Victims Unit is indeed investigating reports that there is a such man that exists, and that a man with a major sexual cheese fetish, quote unquote, is wanted in Philadelphia.
Has he ever branched out to different cheeses like mozzarella, provolone? What about good old-fashioned American cheese? I mean, this is the birthplace of the country with Independence Hall, and you can't use American cheese. It has to be Swiss. The Swiss? Come on. I'm not so much outraged at what he's doing. The fact that he's using Swiss cheese.
Well, luckily for you...
Oh, God.
The newest headline from the Swiss cheese pervert is that someone found an old post from 2008 where the Swiss cheese pervert actually tried to look for a date on Philadelphia Craigslist. Do you want to hear what the Swiss cheese pervert is into?
I'm assuming cheese.
It's a good bet.
All right. So what did his profile read like?
All right. So this was his explanation on the Philadelphia Craigslist section for looking for a date.
Okay.
According to his post, he says, quote, "I have a big heart, and it was crushed time and again by the opposite sex. That and a very strong sex drive. Well, I'm lucky that I never became a rapist." He also does not.
What? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he also does not know how to write sentences. So this is interesting.
Oh, my God.
"My fetish grew out of desperation for sex with a woman. I started to compare girls to cheese to their milky complexions."
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
"Girls are soft, smooth-feeling, and tend to like dairy products."
What? Tend to like dairy products? That person is... They like a lot of cheese and milk. They must be female.
Yeah, you know, your first date with a girl, you show up with roses and milk.
And milk, yeah. "Here, baby. I got you a dozen roses and a wheel of provolone cheese." That's romance done right there.
I
can't believe that.
I got the heavy cream. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So naturally, cheese is what I started to use as a replacement for girls.
All right, then.
Obviously.
Okay.
Perfect.
Perfect. Makes complete sense.
But to answer your question, Mike, last sentence says, quote, "I tried many different kinds of cheese, but I settled on Swiss as the best."
Holes in it.
First and foremost, if ever a picture of cheese is used, it's most likely Swiss cheese, but also because of the eye patterns, the texture, and the way it feels on my privates.
Wow. Wow. I can't. He posted this to a public website?
On Philadelphia Craigslist, yep.
Oh my God. He probably got responses to it too.
The Swiss cheese pervert is described as a heavyset male, 40 to 50 years old, and just running around the streets of Philadelphia right now.
Look, it's an old guy with cheese on his junk. I mean, really? There's no science to this description. It's an old dude with cheese on his junk. That's all you gotta know.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just boggled by this guy. Just, why cheese? It just doesn't make any sense. His explanations did not help either.
No.
Women like dairy products.
Girls are soft, smooth feeling, and tend to like dairy products. Don't you know that, Mike?
There are a lot of things that are soft and smooth, but he picks cheese. I mean, come on, really?
The next date I go on, I also got to remember to pick up some, you know, half and half.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The salted caramel half and half. Oh.
I got 2% milk, baby.
Yeah, none of that 1% crap. Yeah. Skim milk, get the hell out of my house.
This is grounds for divorce. You bring skim milk into my house.
Sir, why are you divorcing this woman?
Well, you see, she brings skim milk home.
skim milk out of all the milks. There's like 5 or 6 different types. There's chocolate and 2% and 1%, but she brings skim.
What kind of cheese does she bring home? It's all about the cheese.
That's the worst part. She brings that fake orange individually wrapped slices one. She doesn't bring the Swiss, which is what I really crave. I crave the Swiss. I need the Swiss.
Oh. Divorce accepted.
Is that how divorces actually work?
Yeah.
Divorce accepted.
I'm too busy. I gotta get to my golf game, alright?
They ask exactly 2 questions, both of them about milk and cheese.
Yep. That's how it works. That's how it works in Judge Liebig's court.
Wow.
So, there you go. How about we move out of cheese?
Sure. Even though it's a fascinating subject, I think it's time that we move on to the next story.
All right. Well, our next story here, we're going to go to barbecuing.
Well, okay. There's cheese at barbecue sometimes.
Our next story involves a barbecue bash, literally. Alvin Kenneth Chico Welch Jr., a 35-year-old.
How many names does that dude have?
He has a lot.
Okay.
He's accused of beating his friend Joshua Andrew Hines to death with a baseball bat after they disagreed on carving techniques.
Are you... Come on. Really? Carving techniques?
Yep. It's a big deal, Mike. You gotta be careful.
And you thought, I'm mad at you, so instead of just assaulting you or yelling at you, I'm going to find a baseball bat, come back, and bludgeon you to... Did he kill him?
Yes, he did.
He killed him.
Yep.
With a baseball bat.
Yep.
Over carving techniques.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, maybe he has a good explanation, like the Swiss cheese pervert, as to why he did this.
The incident happened last Saturday night during a football watching party at Hines' house. Welch was cutting meat for a take-home plate when he started arguing with Hines over the proper way to slice the meat. The argument got out of hand and Welch pulled out a bat and hit him in the head with it.
Where was he keeping this bat? Did he just have it down his pants leg?
Did he just have it right next to the refrigerator?
Just right next to,
just in case.
It's right next to the dairy products.
Yeah, exactly.
Dairy products, baseball bat.
Right. The two were acquaintances who...
How many ways are there to carve meat?
There's only one right way, Mike.
Which is?
Put the whole thing in your mouth.
The right way is to not carve it at all. Yeah. You eat it with your hands.
You just give it to me and I eat it.
Yes.
That's a true barbecue.
Were they like debating the thickness of the cut or how he was actually physically cutting the meat?
I believe it's how they were cutting to slice it.
Jesus Christ, these people are stupid.
The two were acquaintances who had met each other 5 times previously.
They have the number of times exactly down, 5, exactly 5.
According to the police report.
Okay.
Welch was arrested and is being held without bail and is wanted for murder, and is being charged with murder.
Wow. Look, if he's capable of bludgeoning someone to death with a baseball bat over proper meat carving techniques, imagine what would happen if it was a serious argument.
Like cheese.
The reason...
Your wife can't handle the cheese. Oh, that's it.
Bat comes out.
I can't believe the reasons that people will kill people for. You know what I mean? Like, how low does the standard have to be set? I just... Think about that, though. You're mad at someone, and you have to maintain that anger as you go and find a baseball bat, come back, and bludgeon him to death over meat carving. Imagine if Thanksgiving dinner, somebody disagreed with the way you're carving the turkey, and you just whip a baseball bat out and start bludgeoning them. It's ridiculous.
Barbecues should be about one thing, good shared meat. There will be no froofy desserts. There will be no giant soap bubble guns. And most of all, there will be no vegetables.
Well, Brian, can we at least have corn on the cob?
No.
That's what barbecue's about.
I like corn on the cob, though.
No.
No.
No effing vegetables.
I think the murderer was Ron Swanson.
It might have been.
Probably.
Just in a different, extensively long name, Alvin Kenneth Chico Welch Jr.
It's a publicity stunt for Parks and Rec.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Of course.
All right, well, now we're going to get into butter.
What is this? Are we doing all the food groups here?
Yeah, have you liked this? All my stories have to do with food?
We got dairy, we got meat, we got, what's butter? Like the fats, then the oils. Is the next story going to be grains? And then after that, we're going to have fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, we'll find out. But for this one, we're going to butter. Florida woman Jennifer Feigley, 24 years old, allegedly.
It's always Florida.
Yeah, Floridas are crazy. Florida woman Jennifer Feigley, 24 years old, allegedly beat her roommate with a cane during an argument about butter.
What? Why are people beating each other over food? Jeez, what? Oh, my God. All right, so what about the butter?
Feigley allegedly whomped Marston in the head.
Is that the term in the police report, whomped?
Yeah, whomped.
Okay.
Got on top of her and punched her multiple times before busting out a cane and hitting her 5 times with it. The whole reason, her 59-year-old roommate put butter on the stove.
Like, buttered the stove or left it out?
She left the butter on the stove.
And she beat her to death? Wait, did this die?
No, she's not dead.
Okay.
But she is pretty much injured.
Wait, 59? How old was the other woman?
24.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She blames it on pregnancy hormones.
Yeah, okay. Oh, my God. That's a skin offense. There's going to be a whole rash of pregnant women killing their husbands. It was pregnancy hormones, I swear. All right. Not guilty.
Feigley is 6 months pregnant, and she became enraged when she saw the butter on the stove.
Why didn't she just eat it?
Back in my day, pregnancy hormones made you eat food, not beat people up for it.
Well, maybe she wanted some meat to go with the butter. She was looking for fresh human flesh.
Feigley told deputies that hormones from her pregnancy were causing her anger. She said that she suffered from schizoaffective disorder, but she hasn't been taking medication for it because she was pregnant. The cops still have hold her in custody.
Well, yeah, because she just admitted that she's psychotic, not on her meds, and that at the drop of a hat, she will murder someone or attempt to murder someone.
The butter's not in the right spot.
That's right.
Jeez.
All over butter not being in the right spot. If I murdered somebody every time something was misplaced, there'd be a whole hell of a lot of dead people.
Thanks, Mike.
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you have to think about these people's actions in other situations. Like, imagine, Rich, if every time somebody misplaces, like, I don't know, a pencil or something of yours, and you just murder somebody, how many people would be dead? A lot, right?
This just in, the Costanza residence has been littered with bodies. Mike Costanzo came home one night and found his PlayStation games rearranged in the living room. He went crazy and killed everybody in sight, even people that had no business relating to the PlayStation games.
We now go live to the scene with reporter Michael Costanzo. Who's reporting about his own killing spree, apparently.
It's all right. He didn't take his medication because he's pregnant.
His pregnant hormones. You know, if news was like that, a lot more people would watch it. Oh, my God.
All right. You ready for our next story here?
Sure.
All right. Here's our next story. And it actually has to do with the ex-wife of Pulitzer Prize-winning author Cormac McCarthy. You know, he wrote The Road and...
Yeah.
Well, this is the ex-wife, Jennifer McCarthy. She made headlines this week when she was accused of whipping a gun out of her hooah.
Hooah!
Wait, seriously?
Yep.
Why do people stick weapons up there?
And she threatened her boyfriend during an argument about space aliens.
Oh my God, these people are insane. First off, why didn't she buy a holster?
I would just like to mention this news story wanted me to read all that in one line. You know, like it's no big whoop.
Oh my God.
Woman made headline this week when she accused of whipping a gun out of her vagina and threatening her boyfriend during an argument about space aliens.
Like it's totally normal.
Yeah, take all that in.
That happens every week.
One shot there. Deputies say that Jennifer McCarthy got into a dispute last Saturday night with her 53-year-old lover, Mark, over the existence of space aliens. McCarthy got so angry that she left her house and returned back in lingerie. But she didn't tell Mark that she was packing a handgun in her hooah.
Hooah! I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
After she flirted with Mark to get his defenses down, she then pulled out the gun and said, "Who is crazy, you or me?"
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Clearly her.
Yeah, that is in the police report. Who is crazy, you or me?
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
That is when she pointed the gun at his head. Mark wrestled the gun away from her, and then McCarthy called 911 and the police arrived before anybody shot each other. McCarthy was then charged with aggravated assault.
Wow.
All because of space aliens.
Space aliens. So first we have arguments about meat, then butter, now space aliens.
Yep.
There's a definite trend here.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
That must be really awkward, though. Like taking a break from, you know, intimate encounters to be like, hold on, let me grab something. And then whip a gun out.
So there you go. Don't get into an argument with your significant other about space aliens.
Yeah. Well, she'll shoot you with her pistol. Am I allowed to say that?
I think I might have to bleep that one out.
Crap. The alliteration. I couldn't resist the alliteration, Rich. I want to know why people stick weapons up there. Aren't they afraid it might accidentally discharge?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
People are dangerous.
Yep.
Stay away from people.
Just stay inside your homes.
Just don't go near people when they're carving meat or leaving butter out, or avoid insane people, which is basically like 80% of all of them.
I love how you got up with 80%. Like you worked it in your mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you carry crunch the numbers. Yeah, you know. 80%. Carry the one, divide by three.
Use the quadratic formula.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Triangulate the vector of the hyperbolic curve and something math.
This is so bad.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
And then use that.
There you go.
All right, how about we get to a very happy and exciting story?
Are you sure no one beat somebody to death over something stupid in this one?
No, but okay. this is a pretty good story here. A Texas firefighter was driving with his wife Monday evening when he came upon an 18-wheeler that was engulfed in flames. Captain Craig Moreau, who was off duty at the time, pulled over and tried to put the fire out with his fire extinguisher that he had in his trunk. He was unsuccessful. Moreau then tried something else. He crawled underneath the 18-wheeler and decided to see what he could find underneath the wheeler. He said to the driver, "What have you got in here?" The driver said, "Beer." The truck was filled with Coors beer. The driver then decided to grab cans, started shaking them so the carbonization would force the beer to explode when opened. By doing this process, he was able to quickly put out the fire with the beer and save the truck's trailer along with the beer!
It's a miracle!
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Woo! Huzzah! We have saved the beer! Yeah, after ballin', I go clubbin'. Then I'm huggin'.
Woo! Hug everybody!
It's a miracle!
Wow, so he saved the fire by using the beer.
Yes.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
I am your brother, your best friend forever, singing the songs, the music that you love.
That's what he was saying to the driver.
As they're dancing around, shaking beer cans and...
He stopped the fire from destroying the beer.
You said that he shook up some beer cans and used them to extinguish the fire?
Yep.
Like?
This was Coors Banquet beer.
Okay. I'm just trying to think, how big was this fire that they put it out with beer cans?
Well, it was in danger of destroying the whole trailer and hurting the driver.
I think maybe I'm not visualizing this correctly, because I imagine a dude with like a six pack putting out a blazing inferno.
The guy has a truck full of beer.
Okay.
They did it.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle!
And according to the Associated Press, nobody was injured in the blaze, and it's because of the beer and the smart thinking of Captain Craig Moreau.
So, see that? They should use that as advertising right there.
Yeah. Someone get that man a beer.
So why don't we go get a beer?
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
Woo!
What company was this again? What beer?
It was Coors.
Coors? They should say something like, do you have a burning fire that you have to quench right now? Well, drink a Coors. And it'll taste good.
Mike Costanzo, the master beer salesperson. Mike is available if you want to contact the Crispy
Noodle. You watch. It's going to be an ad, and it's going to make them millions of dollars.
Just love I love your delivery on it. That's what makes it priceless.
It'll taste good.
It'll taste good.
I actually don't like Coors.
This is so bad. Is that what you say?
Not that I say it's bad. I just prefer other stuff.
All right. How about we go to some odd news that might be more up your alley. How about that?
Okay.
18-year-old Christopher Scheller crashed a car into a tree while driving drunk.
Ah, okay.
Yep. You know, that's a smart thing for an 18-year-old to do.
Pretty standard stuff.
Yep. The officer at the scene decided to follow up with Scheller at the hospital. There, officials say that they had spotted a, quote, abnormality in his body cavity. He was then taken in for...
What body cavity?
I got
a pistol up my ass.
Yeah, you know that one.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Okay, that body cavity.
They did a search, and are you ready to see what they... Are you ready to hear what they found?
Oh, God, I'm worried.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Did they find a machine gun?
Nope, but police found 4 bracelets, 4 necklaces, 11 women's rings... And a socket for a smoking wrench and a bag of weed.
The hell was he doing?
Up in the you-know-where.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. What was he doing, like pickpocketing people with his butt? How did he get that much jewelry up there? Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. That must be uncomfortable. What was it like 12 necklaces and 13 bracelets?
4 bracelets, 4 necklaces, 11 women's rings, a socket for a smoking wrench, a bag of weed, and a partridge in a pear tree.
5 golden rings,
11 women's rings.
What kind of smell?
Hey, you know, I know what we're doing for our Christmas special next year.
There you go.
The 12 days of butt treasures.
Yes.
Like, look, it is. It's like uncovering like buried treasures. Like, oh my God, there's gold in here.
The 12 days of butt treasure.
So, is there an explanation why he had this stuff up here, or did he act? I can imagine him acting totally surprised. What? You mean I have a small jewelry store's worth of merchandise up my butt? How did that happen? Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. The doctors are like, this might be a shock to you, but do you realize? You have enough jewelry up your ass to start a small boutique.
You have half of a Robbins and Robbins up your ass.
Robbins rocks.
Yeah. Oh my God. Robbins rocks.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Oh my God.
Robbins and Robbins, we got your new campaign here.
The jewelry.
What was the... I gotta hear this explanation.
The jewelry was found to have been stolen from a home. So Scheller apparently broke into a home, took all the stuff, shoved it up his butt.
I don't get this.
Got drunk.
I don't get this.
And then crashed his car into a tree.
There are lots of burglars. There's millions of burglars.
Well, this is the butt burglar.
So he's creeping around somebody's house, and he's stealing stuff, and he drops his pants and sticks them. One item up at a time, up his butt. Why didn't he just...
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just use a plastic bag? Or, you know, like, be a traditional crook with the ski mask and the gloves.
That's not his style.
Or maybe don't get drunk and crash, and you would have gotten away with it. What an idiot. On multiple accounts.
The teen is behind bars and will face a slew of charges, including theft, having stolen property on him, and driving under the influence.
What was this guy's name? Do we have a name?
Christopher Scheller.
Christopher Scheller. Good job, buddy.
Scheller's Jewelers. All these are brown.
Does this bracelet smell funny? No.
All right, and are you ready for our last story?
Oh, we're already at the last one? Oh my god, that went fast.
They're fun. I know, they're fun, but.
Well, you know, you get distracted between the Swiss cheese junk and the 12 days of, what I call it, butt treasure.
12 days of butt treasure. Coming soon to a Christmas near you. 12 days of butt treasure.
I can't believe I said that. All right, what's our last story?
All right, a Massachusetts man who allegedly drove drunk before fleeing into the woods decided to climb a tree and refused to leave. Here's the detail of the bizarre events. 37-year-old Hudson man Troy Prockett was arranged on multiple charges, including third offense, drunken driving, failure to stop for police, resisting arrest, leaving the scene of property damage, and disturbing the peace. According to the report, the police were driving along the highway at 7 p.m. when they spotted Prockett in his car driving erratically before he eventually crashed into a snowbank. The man, Prockett, sprinted out of the car, jumped over the guardrail, and darted off into the woods. Police then got a search dog to track the man's footprints in the snow. They followed his trail throughout the woods. Radio communications show that police searched for about an hour in single-digit temperatures before they finally came across Prockett hiding 30 feet above in a tree.
Wow.
When police asked Prockett to surrender, the man said in very slurred speech that, quote, "I am an owl."
Well, can't do anything about him now. I just have to leave. I am an owl.
At this point, Prockett rambled on for 15 minutes about being an owl.
No way.
And said that he was, quote, a good owl.
Oh my god.
I'm a good owl. Ooh.
Ooh, ooh.
No way.
Oh, 15 minutes.
When Prockett realized that his jig was up, he then decided to climb higher into the tree. And then said, "Go away, it's snowing."
"You'll catch a cold. You better leave me here. I'm an owl. I can handle these temperatures."
Police had to wait until a firefighter's aerial tower showed up and used a chainsaw to remove the branches that were in the way.
I'm an owl.
He's held on $3,000 bail, and he will be facing his charges soon.
So, let me get this straight. He's too drunk to drive, but he can climb 35 feet up a tree.
And claim he's an owl.
And claim he's an owl.
Oh, a good owl.
A good owl.
He's a good owl.
Not just any owl, but a good owl.
Yes. Don't mind me. I'm a good owl. I'm a noble owl.
Oh, my God.
I'm from the Gryffindor house. I'm the good guys.
Wouldn't it be Ravenclaw? Aren't they birds?
I don't know. Whatever the owl is. I don't know. Harry Potter had an owl. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Harry Potter had an owl. Well, there were lots of owls
I'm not a Slytherin owl.
What about Hufflepuff? What's a Hufflepuff?
What the hell is a Hufflepuff?
What the hell is a Hufflepuff? That's, nobody's going to get that reference.
And there you go. That is what I have for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
That's amazing. That's like the most solid defense ever.
I'm an because owl!
You're saying you're an owl, so they can't try you in court. They can't try an owl in court.
Yeah.
So he gets off. That's it. He's free. He's an owl. He's free.
Aha!
You can't arrest an owl. And who's to tell him otherwise? If he wants to be an owl, damn it, he can be an owl.
And with that, that'll wrap up the non-fortune cookie odd news. And with that, why don't we get into our recap portion of the show? It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Woo, Mike, what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
I've learned that if you drink enough, and if you believe hard enough, you too can be an owl.
Yeah. Who's to say what you can't be?
Don't let those cops tell you that you're arrested. No. If you want to be an owl, damn it, you can be an owl.
Yeah. Take that.
I've also learned that in the case of Christopher Sellers, you can have the 12 days of butt treasure. Open a small boutique with the amount of jewelry that he's stolen.
Yeah, why not? I've learned that apparently females love dairy products.
Yeah, that's the latest craze amongst those young kids today.
I guess so.
They're crazy dating practices. You bring girls some flowers and a wheel of cheese. Nothing more romantic than that.
Roses and milk.
Roses are red. Cheese is tasty. Here's some Swiss cheese.
I'm not going to finish that.
Oh, God. Apparently, Rich, you think that my pregnancy hormones make me kill lots of people. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, just... It's acceptable.
It's acceptable. Oh, God. We've also learned that, again, it's been proven, people like to stick weapons in places that they shouldn't be.
That's a recurring theme.
That is a recurring theme.
And is there anything else that we've learned?
Yeah, I just want to say that we love Mark Coonrippy Brown, the raccoon man here.
That was a great interview.
I learned a lot of stuff in that interview. Stay particular. Be particular. Yeah. Be particular.
Be particular. That's right. There you go. I like that.
Be particular.
There you go. That is what we've learned on this episode of the Chris Menudo Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, and there's the 8-bit Get Lucky music. That means it's time to wrap up this show. Woo! What a show, Mike.
Another great show. We finally dabbled in politics by interviewing the Raccoon Man. We had some amazing odd news, some Golden Globes recap. It was just a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but I think we managed to fit this all into a podcast. What a show. And this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want more information on the Crispy Noodle, check out thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and make sure to follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
And remember to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can get some highlights from our previous episodes. But most importantly, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes of the Crispy Noodle Podcast downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player. You can listen to us on the go, at work, at home, anywhere, any way you want to. The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you want your noodle extra crispy, make sure to go to the Blog Talk Radio page of Totally Driven Entertainment. We debut each week's episode Wednesday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. So if you want your first crack at the crispy noodle early, check it out Wednesday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m.
And one final shout out to Mark Coonrippy Brown, the Raccoon Man. Go check out his Facebook and YouTube pages, Swamp Music 12, and support the his initiative to get Rebecca's Law passed.
That's right. Support the Raccoon Man.
Support the Raccoon Man.
Why not?
Why not? And if you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. What a show, Mike.
What a show.
That'll do it for us. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Be particular.
That's right. Be particular. Later.
See you guys.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Sausages!
I would like to eat my
sausages!
Sadly, we're all...